Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
What a great time it is to be able to be together with those of like precious faith to worship and to praise our God. Today's lesson, as I announced on Wednesday, we're going to focus primarily towards our youth, but at the same time, these are things that all of us need to hear in regard to what God expects of us as New Testament Christians. Today, I want to talk to our kids, and kids, I hope to be able to communicate to you, number one, how we feel about you, your parents, and the church, and the Creator. And then in like figure, I want to lay before you some expectations and commandments that our God has of you as those who have been created after His image, but also more specifically for those who are New Testament Christians. Our God wants you to know that you are indeed a gift to your parents. The Bible identifies for us in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that when Adam and Eve had conceived with their first child, Eve looked at that child that she had received from God. She identified, as what the psalmist says in Psalms 127 and verse 3, that children are a heritage into the home, and indeed they are a reward, a blessing unto the parents. And children, from what I have seen and what I believe to be true from your parents look at you as indeed a gift from God. They love you very much, and I know that your parents communicate this to you, I would believe, on a daily basis and probably multiple times in and throughout the course of a day. They will express it, not only verbally, but they hopefully express that in other ways. And in the home, you bring so much to your parents as far as your satisfaction or satisfaction to them. And what brings them this blessing in the home and why they love you so much is because you have come forth because of their love that they have for one another, your mother and your father, but also because of who you are. Who you are as a person, who you are not only as a person and in your developmental stages as youth, but they love you for who you're seeking to become, to be followers of God, by being here in attendance and making certain that God is indeed a part of your life. And I trust that your parents love you and appreciate you because of who you are and because of who you want to become, that is, as you look to following God. But also today, I want you to know that you are indeed a blessing to the church. The Apostle Paul, in speaking to Timothy as a young evangelist, encouraged him to let no one despise his youth. Timothy was a young evangelist in the church, and when we look in regard to how Paul felt about Timothy, Paul felt very close to Timothy. He loved him. He appreciated him. In fact, he looked at him as his son in the faith, and possibly the Apostle Paul is responsible for baptizing, teaching, and baptizing Timothy here, and therefore he loved him. He appreciated him so very much, and today I want you to know as kids in the church, as our youth, that we love and appreciate you, that indeed you are a blessing to us. Your faithful attendance encourages me. As a gospel preacher, I stand out and try to preach and teach the truth and to look out and to see only old people. Now, I love and appreciate our older people too. But if that's all we had in the church, we would be missing a very vital part of what God expects us to be as the body. And as a minister, to look and to see the number of youth that we have. And I know today most of our youth, but not all, are sitting up here. So even those who are sitting out with your parents and such, we want you to know that your attendance encourages us, but not only your attendance, your involvement. To see our young men stepping up and serving on the Lord's table, stepping up and doing scripture reading and things of that nature. And our young ladies are such encouragers. To be able to be out and amongst each other, encouraging, but not only encouraging one another, but you're an encouragement to members of the body of Christ. Each year, I am so impressed with our youth around the holidays. You come together to put together the fruit baskets, and then you are so excited not only to get them put together, but to take and to deliver them to the shut-ins and to others. You are always out there involved. You always possess a very positive attitude And we need that. Why? Because we live in a very negative world. A world that tries to tear you apart, tries to tear all of us apart, but yet I am so impressed that you always display positive in your life, and then also you do not look at the glass as being half empty, but rather half full. That's kind of the way I see you. You are such a blessing to us, and your love, the love that you have for one another, the love that you have for the members of the church, what a blessing that is to each and every one of us. And we want you to know that we look at you and we count you as indeed a blessing unto the congregation here at East End. But also, youth, you need to understand that you are very special to our God. God looks at little children and He says that that the kingdom of heaven is made up of such. Whenever God created mankind and placed them there in the garden, whenever the offspring comes of the loving relationship between man and woman, children are born not with sin, but rather children are born innocent. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, we understand that Jesus took a little child and set him in their midst, and He explains that this child is indeed greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and He calls upon the Christians to become humble, to have the mindset of these children, to where that they too shall live their life of innocence and according to the standards of God. God looks at our youth and He loves you so much. He loves you so much that He knows that during the course of your life that you're going to grow beyond that innocent and safe state. And His love for you, in fact, His love for all of us, had initiated Him sending Jesus Christ into the world. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you so much that He gave His Son, His child, at Calvary's cross, in order for you, for all of us, to have an opportunity for the forgiveness of sins and our obedience of faith in the gospel call. But also today, youth, our God wants you to do all that you can to study His Word so that you may know Him. We learn from Paul's letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." God has spoken to us. He's given us His message. And God wants us to spend our life as what the Apostle Paul stated he was seeking to do in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He wanted so much to know the power that stood behind the resurrection of Jesus. What was he seeking to understand? Good people, he was wanting to know about God. He was wanting to know about the Creator. And I hope that during the course of your life, as you are growing, that your heart's desire will always be that you want to know about our Creator. And in wanting to know about the Creator, you must turn to His book. You must study His book, the Bible, each and every day. And I pray, and I know the congregation prays and hopes on a daily basis that you will do and strive to be like the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they searched the Scripture daily to see whether those things were so. Whether the things that they were being taught as the gospel truth, if indeed they were the truth. And I challenge you today, we challenge you as a congregation to not believe everything that you hear. Why? Because everything you hear out in the world is not going to be true. Everything that you hear, even from a religious standpoint, isn't always going to be true. And for that reason, you need to check God's Word out to make certain that indeed what you're hearing and what you're believing is in line with the Scripture. And that even goes here. Don't take what I say to be the gospel truth unless it lines up with the Scripture. Don't take what your teachers say to be the gospel truth unless it lines up with Scripture. And you say, "Kevin, that means that I'm going to have to spend a lot of time studying." Amen to that. Study all that you can so that you will know God's Word. And in knowing God's Word, you in like figure will know Him. But kids, also, as you're learning from God's Word, we pray. And we also trust is that you're going to grow in your love for God and that you will revere Him constantly in your life. What does it mean to love God? God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. God wants you to love Him with everything that you are made up of. That everything that you have, you realize that it comes from God. For the salvation that you know that you can be a partaker of through the blood of Christ and your obedience, you realize that this is the greatest gift that God has given unto us, and you love God because He first loved us, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, and your love for God will lead you then to revere Him. Well, what does that word revere mean? It can mean is that we worship God, but it means that we respect Him, that we honor Him. You honor God and you demonstrate your love for God by doing what He commands of us. And again, that goes back to knowing His Word. But then, in like figure, applying His Word to your everyday walk of life. Don't only tell God that you love Him. Not only state these things to your friends and to your family, but also show God how much you love Him by respecting Him and by honoring Him, by living your life according to the standards that He has laid down for us. Do you remember the words of Jesus in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. And kids, keep God's commandments, not simply because He says you have to. Yes, you have to, but keep His commandments because you want to. Because you want to show your love back to God. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say what I believe God wants you to hear. And that is obey God. Obey God. I like what Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, children, obey your Creator in the days of your youth before difficult days come. Well, why is it essential to obey the Creator in the days of your youth? Sometimes whenever we get older, those difficult days can mean that we're stubborn. Amen, older people. It can mean that sometimes our health will not be as it ought to, and things will get in the way of us obeying the gospel by being baptized. I've been in situations where people will wait until they're on their deathbed, if you would, to obey the gospel. But yet at the same time, they're never able to be baptized. And the Bible identifies for us Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 and 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 and multiple other passages that those people are lost. Don't wait until it's too late to obey God. Obey God in the days of your youth so that you can live your life for Him, so that you can serve Him without any regret wishing that you had done these things earlier. God wants you to study His Word, to love and to revere Him, and also He wants you to obey Him. In all of this, we also need to be aware that Satan seeks to pull you down, to pull all of us down, and to pull us away from God. Satan tries to fill our minds with ungodliness. How does he do that? Out here in the world, we've already said that the world does not know God, and Satan has control of the world, and probably you've seen this to be true in your schools, those places where you're around those who are not members of the church, where you're around people who are unchurched at all, and these people will involve themselves in all kinds of ungodliness, and likely they place before you those same types of temptations. And this is Satan's ploy, this is Satan's work, to introduce to you these types of sins to pull you down and to pull you away from God. You see, Satan places before us all kinds of evil allurements. The Bible identifies for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 that Satan is able to present himself as an angel of light. That is so scary to me. To think that Satan is able to disguise himself and to know that he is aware of his abilities to do so and that he is very good at what he does and that he's constantly out there striving to do these things just scares the daylights out of me, not only for my soul's sake, for my salvation, but also for you. For you as youngsters who are striving to learn his word, who are dealing with the peer pressures of life, who's dealing with kids who are thinking in the same realm as you are, and Satan's using these kids and he's using all these influences to get you to be pulled away from God. And kids, be aware. and be wise of what Satan's trying to do. Keep your eyes open, your minds fresh to the things that are out there that can destroy you and your relationship with God. One way that Satan tries to do all these things is he surrounds us with non-Christians. Now, kids, today I want you to know that I certainly believe that there's nothing wrong with having some friends that are non-Christians. If we do not have friends that are non-Christians, not members of the church, we're never going to be able to reach them. Amen? God wants us to live in the world, but here's the key. He doesn't want us to be like the world. And for that reason, you need to be aware of your friends and to make certain that as you are making friends, that you choose good friends, friends who have high morals and high ethics, Christian ethics, if you would, things that they're not going to get involved in that will pull you away from God. So as you're choosing friends that are not members of the church, choose wisely. And if your friends try to go and do things that are ungodly, don't go with them. You can say no and mean no. Don't just say no. I don't think I want to go do that. Well, your kids, your friends are going to play on that. What do you mean you don't think you want to go do that? You say, well, I'm not going to go do that. Say no and mean no. Whenever kids try to get you to go and do things that you should not, must not do. But kids also, I stress. And I know that your parents have stressed this, and I appreciate the parents for doing this. I know the church has preached this, taught this for many years. Have friends in the church. Here at East End, I am just so amazed and so excited to see how close our youth group is. You kids truly love each other. You enjoy being around each other. I know whenever we have times that we meet in our homes for youth group activities, you kids are always running around and doing things with each other, and you always want to do things that we can do together, like Mafia. I think that's probably the best game, right, amongst our kids. Why do you want to do that together? Because you like doing things with each other. You enjoy each other. And kids, the best friends that you can ever have are those in the church. Why? Because they're going to have the same mindset of like precious faith. Why? Because their goals are going to be the same as yours. At least we pray they are. That's going to be to get to heaven, to please God. And make certain that your friends are rooted in the church here at East End and even in the Brotherhood here in and throughout Warren County and worldwide for that sake. Satan tries so hard to destroy the genuine faith that is in you. How do we have faith in God? We have faith in God according to what is taught in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, those who come to God, listen kids, those who come to God, those who want to be followers of God, must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Know what's said there. Those who come to God must believe. Must believe how much? 100% that God is and that God operates in our life and that God loves us and that God is constantly there for us and that God wants us to be in heaven with Him throughout all eternity. And not only do you need to know that, Satan is very well aware that you must have a 100% faith in God. And Satan's working around the clock to destroy that faith, that genuine faith that you have. He's moving, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And kids, don't let your guard down. Don't even go near the lion. Stay away from him. In all of this, today we want to encourage you, our youth, each one of you, to work daily to have in you a pure heart. God warns that the imagination of man's heart is evil. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. It's normal, it's natural, it's according to the flesh for our imagination, that is the mind that is within us, to think evil, to have evil thoughts. But not only to have those evil thoughts, then in like figure to act upon the evil that is within. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That's interesting because Satan will use the heart, the mind that is within us, and he will try to justify things that is going on that is not godly, those things that are ungodly, those evil thoughts, and he'll say, that's okay. At your age, people are supposed to be thinking about this. He'll say, it's okay for you to think this way. In fact, not only think this way, but act. Act upon your evil thoughts. Act upon the evil allurements that are out in the world. And the Bible says that the heart can be the most deceitful thing. Why? Because with the heart, with the mind is where this seeking to justify comes in. If we want to do those things that are godly, we'll do those things that are godly. And the Bible will be the justification for that. But if we seek and do those things that are ungodly, there's no authorization for that in Scripture. And therefore, the justification will have to come from the heart, from the mind. And you will do all that you can. Trust me, I've been there, done that, and I think we all probably have. To where you will say, it's okay. It's not going to hurt anybody. And God says, don't let it deceive you. Be wise to these things. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Proverbs writer exclaims, informs us that we need to keep your heart with all diligence. That word diligence is important there. Diligence means that it's not going to be easy. Diligence means that it's going to put that you need to put forth effort into it. Diligent means that it's not going to be a once and done deal, but rather that you're going to constantly have to work upon this, not only while you're youth, but also, everybody else help me on this one, after you get older. Amen? Every single one of us need to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because Satan doesn't let up. Satan still is working even on all of us. And he's working on you as youth. But you need to keep your heart pure before God. And God informs us also in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever you allow to be in your mind and to be characteristic in your life, God says this is really and truly who you are. We may claim to be Christians. We may have confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God, as what the Ethiopian eunuch did in the book of Acts chapter 8 verses 37 and following. And we may have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin as we are commanded, as Jesus commanded in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, as was taught and commanded there at Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Also, we understand that as the Apostle Paul was taught and baptized by Ananias, that baptism washes away sin, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. You and I realize that whenever we are baptized, we become New Testament Christians and we have the forgiveness of sin. We stand in a relationship with God, and God wants us to understand that it is essential for us to keep on practicing our faith. In fact, to grow our faith so that we're able to practice it more accurately and fully as we go through life. In these things, though, it's so easy. It's so easy for us to fall back. And God says, don't allow these things to characterize your life. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? I hope to communicate what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. It's what comes out of man that defiles him. Kids, if you have thoughts in your mind, we need to do all that we can to erase those thoughts, to reprogram your thoughts. But also understand that whenever you allow yourself to dwell upon your thoughts, your imaginations that are evil, and then also you take action upon these things, God says, then you defile yourself before Him. In all these things, Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22 that the lamp of the body is the eye. What's He mean there? The lamp of the body is the eye. He says your eyes. The eyes see things. The eyes see the ungodliness of the world. And because it sees it, what does it do? It takes a picture of it. And where does it go from there? It stores into the, we say a picture card nowadays, right? it stores into the brain that picture card that God has given to us and those evil things that are out there, such as pornography, such as dirty jokes, such as immodest dress, and the list just goes on and on and on. Those things can get into your mind and can convince you to participate in them. And kids, be careful what you look at. Be careful what you will allow yourself to see. And somebody says, Kevin, but wait a second, there's all kinds of evil out there. I can't help but to see it from time to time. I heard one preacher say concerning ladies having an immoral and immodest dress. He says, sometimes it's hard. And he says, I practice the bounce approach. And he says, whenever I see something over here I shouldn't see, then he said, I allow my head to bounce over here. Until I see something over here, and then I allow my head to bounce over here. Kids, bounce your head to where you're looking, not at ungodliness, but upon those things that are pleasing and acceptable to our God. Allow your hearts to be pure. God teaches us to seek those things that are above. Don't worry about the things that the world has to offer. Why? Because the things that the world has to offer that you need, God's going to make certain that you have those things, that you're not going to go hungry, that you're not going to go without a roof over your head as long as you're trying to provide for yourself. God says that He's going to be there to provide for us, and our concern needs to be upon those things that are eternal. You and I need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where we know that indeed we're going to get a great return for our investment. We're going to be able to stand before God. We're going to be able to live with God in eternity. We're going to be able to be in His presence, worshiping and praising Him without end. Set your mind on things that are above and flee youthful lust. As you get older, you're going to find, and this is a blessing, amen, to our older people, is that sometimes those things that you face as youth, they're not as enticing anymore. Now, there's other things that'll come along and take their places, but at the same time, they're a little bit different, a little easier. That's what I'm finding anyway. But as a youth, you have so many things that are out there that are so temptuous, that are so tempting to draw you into. And God says, flee from those things. You need to run like you're in the race of your life, because you are. You're in a race that's running to heaven. Flee from those things and keep your eyes focused upon God and strive for perfection. Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, where it's taught there, that we need to be perfect as what Jesus Christ is perfect. And as I looked at the Scripture there in Matthew 5:48 and other places, I was taken back with a number of places and times that God tells us to be perfect. And I asked myself, how in the world are we going to be able to be perfect as adults, as mature Christians? And how in the world, if we're struggling with that, are the kids going to be able to do that? Because you're facing more things than what we are. In this, God realizes that we live here in the flesh and that we face temptation, and that in reality we're going to fall. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. First John chapter 1 and verse 8, if anyone says that he does not sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. Every one of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. But here's his point. You and I must keep striving for perfection. If we say to ourselves, it's okay, everybody sins, what have we done? We've let our guard down and we've opened the door for not only that sin, but for the next sin, and for sin to be consistent, always in our life. But if we say, Jesus Christ is my goal, if we say, I want to be like Jesus, I want to be perfect like Jesus, knowing that I'll never be able to reach that within myself. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28 says that we are found perfect in Christ. So it's only that our perfection is established and possible in Jesus. But in that, if we use Him as the standard, not our own standard, not the world's standard, not other religious standards, but the standard that God has laid out in Jesus. We will never be perfect, but we will be found perfect in Christ. Kids, strive for perfection always in your life. And God expects you to be an example to the believers. You have so much to offer us. I've already listed your attendance, your involvement, your positive attitude, your love. We need you to be an example to us. We're trying to be an example to you. I pray we are every single day, right, church? And in like figure, though, we want you to be an example to us, to encourage us along the way. And He also says that you need to give attention to reading. To reading what? I like to read comic strips. Y'all like the comics? I like to read things that are in the internet. I like to also watch television. I'm a news guy. We sit down to watch TV of a night. This is free. Won't cost any extra today. I like to watch the Weather Channel or the news. I want to know about current events, and I want to know if we're going to get hit with snow, rain in this area, right? But we need to give attention to reading. Not reading what the world has, but to reading and studying God's Word. To know indeed His standards. And not only to read and study, but to meditate upon these things and to meditate upon our service to God. To meditate means to think deeply, to concentrate, to every single day make this your focus. And to think not only what does God command of me and what am I doing to please God, but what can I do? What can I do to take it to the next level? What does God expect of me? Not only to grow my faith, but maybe even to help somebody else. Kids, do all that you can every single day to have a pure heart before God. Never give in to Satan, but always look up to that perfection that is only found in Jesus. Kids, today we want you to know, in fact, this lesson's for everyone in some sense, is that there's a place in heaven for you. Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 14, verses 1 and following. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary's cross, not only did He give us a means of salvation through the shedding of His blood, but He has also entered into heaven, where the Bible says that He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and He is ruling and reigning from on high. But get this, He's also made preparation for our arrival. Yes, God is anxiously awaiting the day of judgment for those who are faithful in Christ, for them to be ushered into their eternal abode in heaven. Kids, do all that you can to live right before God, to live righteous before God, so that you will be able to spend eternity in heaven with Him. As we close this lesson today, the invitation is always extended to anyone who is outside of the body of Christ, anyone who is not a member of the Lord's church. God wants us to communicate His message concerning what is essential for an individual to become a true follower of Him, in order for someone to become a child of His. We learn that one must confess that Christ is the Son of the living God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must confess Jesus, that indeed He is the Christ, and believe in that confession that He is indeed the Son of the living God. But in making that confession, then in like figure, we are saying that we're going to change our life. Paul in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Can we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Know what Paul said in verse 2? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer therein? Well, what's he trying to say? The people he's trying to communicate as what Jesus did during the course of his life in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 and verse 5. He says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will likewise perish. God says that whenever an individual confesses Christ to be the Son of the living God, whenever they want to become a New Testament Christian in like figure, they understand that they cannot live their life like the world any longer, but rather now they must live their life for God. And in all of this, how do we become a Christian? The Bible identifies for us that whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we receive the forgiveness of sin, and we are added into the body of Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, and also Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.